Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Much better today than yesterday.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
I went about 41 hours without sleep.
You don't
My
even have kids under the age of like two in your house, so.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I didn't go 40 plus hours without sleep, but had a poor sleep cycle over the weekend. Yeah.
That
Doing better today, though. Morning, James. I appreciate you, Rob, being willing to help me be the co-convener for this SIG meeting.
I am.
Yeah, field promotion. Oh, no mic or camera. Okay. I'll keep my eye on the chat as best I can. You can ask questions or contribute that way. We'll give people a few more minutes to pile in. There might be some. Did we already meet James when you called Spokane Public previously? I know Nashville has reached out and we've spoken in the past, but I'm not sure if you were on that call. I can't remember. Ah, vacation. That's a much better much better thing to be doing. Well, the our Pub Lib SIG special interest group is small but mighty. Few but strong. And what I've been working on, or what we've been working on, is trying to build a gap analysis of what critical features are missing in Folio for a public library to just turnkey solution. So that document is available on the wiki. I'll go and post it into chat. And I try and just identify the most critical items, but then David Ngo, who I hope will be joining us, was able to provide his own RFP or gap analysis from years ago at Orange County Library District in Florida. And so because he was willing to provide that, I thought this would be a good document to reference and kind of go through from other public libraries, not just Spokane, and try and identify some other must-have features based on David's document. So the plan is to just go through and identify, is this a must-have? You got to have it. And then, or would it be nice to have? Or this doesn't really matter. And then, if there needs to be greater details put into the definition of that feature, then we can add those. The next step after this document gets reviewed would be to go and look on Jira, see if these features or functionalities have been fleshed out for development. And if they have, document that, say, and add it to the gap analysis, saying these are must-haves, but they're, on the docket for development, and reference those. Or in the case of we can't find them in Jira, create Jira tickets for those appropriately. So that's the overarching theme. And so right now it's kind of, I won't lie, it's kind of a drudgery to go through the list of features. Spokane, we managed to make it work without all the bells and whistles right out of the box, but not every institution has one or three developers who can build workaround tools or different features or dashboards that they need to make a ILS work as desired. So that's the idea. And we have a new guest, a new regularly attending member, I hope, that has just joined. Maybe they also don't have a microphone or camera. So, 5 minutes past the hour. Ooh,
Are you
wait.
talking about me?
Yes,
I'm just
ma'am.
a, hi, I'm Laura Lee Kovitz. I'm with the Orange County Library System. I work with David as well, so
Oh, great.
just
Great. We're
pop. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm just so excited. I know this sounds crazy. I hold these meetings, heck or high water, because when the SIG group was put together 4 or 5 years ago, it was very short-lived. It only met for one meeting because the steam kind of ran out. Spokane was the only public library interested at the time. And so even if it's just me and one other person sitting in this meeting, I refuse to cancel it unless, I'm like dying or on vacation or something. So I just get really excited when there's a new face in the room. So I appreciate you being here. I'm glad that David sent an invitation over to you as well.
Yes.
Is David going to be able to join today? Do you
I
know?
thought he was. He had it on the calendar, so I'm not sure where he's at, but I can
Okay.
message him and see.
All right.
But yeah.
So,
And I was
go
just going
ahead.
to say I'm probably going to do more listening because I'm new to the ILS specialist position as of like maybe 4 months, so I'm still learning my ways around, but happy to be here.
Okay. Awesome. I'm happy that you're here. How long have you been at Orange County? Do you have different
Yeah,
insight into your organization?
I've been with the Orange County system for 21 years.
Wow.
So started a year as a shelver and then 19 and a half years as copy cataloger.
Very
So
nice.
yeah, and now ILS specialist. So
Very nice. So you were definitely there when David had sent this what's called a Moscow, a must-have, should-have, could-have, won't-have
yes,
document.
I do remember that. Yes.
Did you participate in putting that together?
I don't think I p helped put it together, but I helped when we were looking at a different system and trying to go through and see what, in the acquisitions part of it, what we needed and what we would be nice and all that kind of stuff.
Sure. Okay. Well, then any insight that you have, I know for like 2 years I did what was called the Folio Lurk, where I just would lurk in SIG meetings or lurk on Slack and I just lurk around. And so we're in a safe space here. So if you're welcome to chime in with any questions, corrections, critiques, derogatory remarks, welcome to throw those out. There's no judgment at all. And so, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and share my screen, and you may or may not recognize this document. Let me see. Share screen. Let me pick one. Screen four. Can you see what I see? Which screen are we looking at? Where we have
Yes, example
example.
features.
Yeah. So maybe you recognize this from years back when this was originally compiled by Orange County. In the past, when I built the gap analysis, what I do is I look for RFPs that get published by public institutions, look at the features that they are looking for, and then try and represent those as does this Folio, does this feature exist in Folio, and then go from there. Being that you guys had a well fleshed out document, I felt really blessed that this stepped into my life where we could go. But I wanted to get particularly some feedback from another public institution that wasn't just Spokane on what are some of those must have features, which is what we'll identify here. And then figure out whether or not these are on the roadmap for development. So, the original column C of Moscow must have, This was identified by Orange County years ago as these are things we absolutely have to have. And so I thought, as a SIG, as a group, we could go through each one of these, identify, yes, this is an absolute, no, this isn't, and just kind of classify it from here. So I had mentioned earlier, it's kind of a little bit of a drudgery to go through and flush all of these out, but we're going to be in charge of what ultimately pushes these development features in the community. So one of the things in here, circulating checkout items. If we can just jump right in, you guys shout out if you have anything. Circulating checked out items. An item presented for checkout is already checked out to another patron. That opens a dialogue with an option to continue the item checkout. So my right now this does not exist, but the if I was to write this up as a feature, I would put in that first item would be checked in automatically, then allow checkout to patron B. So this currently does not exist in Folio. You would have to manually check the item in and then check it out to patron B. Would this automation be a must-have? Or would the acceptable checking it in and then checking it back out, the current practice be acceptable? And oh, I should say, oh, row six is a must-have. Okay, perfect. Thank you, James. All right. All right. That's what I like. Now I can just move on. Edit due date at checkout. So staff can alter items at checkout before. This is a partial, it's partially supported. And oh, okay. Perfect. Yes, exactly. That's I was just reading James in chat here where he's saying, yes, if this is going to cause friction at the staff desk, then it's a must-have. That was probably the most difficult part of our migration is telling staff, this is how it worked before, and this is how it works now. And then the torches and pitchforks would come out, right? But beyond that, and Rob is with Spokane Public Library, should have said that. He's the support services director, so he's in charge of folios in our environment and primarily the collections and collection management, development, acquisitions, processing, so on and so forth. And so, and he's the co-convener of the SIG. So if I now, if I get sick, I don't have to cancel the meeting. Rob can just continue the drudge, I mean, the exciting work of going through this spreadsheet. So, let me see. So row number seven, just right down the line is, this is partially supported. So right now in Folio, if you check out an item, and it sets a due date according to the loan policy of user group material type, loan type combinations, it will or location based, it will set in the loan policy. At that point, staff have the ability to override that and set different checkout periods. So it's partially supported. You don't get to set it at the time of checkout, or before checkout, I should say. You get to set that after the item has been checked out. Drawback of that is you have to do it per item. So you set up a stack of 10 items and you have to go through and edit the expiration date or the checkout period for each one of those. So from the perspective here in the room, is this a must-have or is the alternative of manually changing the loan dates acceptable? Must have. Oh, for public schools. Okay. Yes, we also this is one of the reasons why Nashville had reached out is we manage the collection for the Spokane Public Schools as well. And they are very
Middle
unique.
schools.
Yes, the middle schools, and they are very unique in their needs. So glad that you could chime in there on that, James. Edit item at the checkout desk, staff edit an item record while in checkout. Technically, this does not exist in Folio. Let me bring up, kind of show you the interface as we go. So this is Snapshot. This is a Folio environment that's refreshed every day so that you can go in and poke around with it and do a bunch of chicanery, and then it resets the next day so that you can go in and play with it again. So during our checkout, let me go grab, here's our inventory app, and I'm gonna fly through these. I apologize that I'm pretty quick. Ooh, limitless library. Oh yes, you can absolutely change due dates via the API. Absolutely. Everything in Folio is API driven. So if you can do something in the UI, you can absolutely do it better through the API. So let me go ahead and grab an item that status is available. Here we go. Hey, look, I've been here a few times. I'm gonna grab this one, and I'm gonna do a patron lookout lookup for, let's just grab somebody. Hopefully this will work, the circ rules. So I'm in the checkout screen, and this is here where you would go and change the due date of the item. Here you would not necessarily be able to edit the item directly, but you would be able to go into the item details where you could then edit the item. So you have two extra clicks to get to that point of, I want to do a quick edit of this item. So this was row 8, item check or item in, checkout. So check in and check out, staff edits item record while at the checkout screen. What are your thoughts? There it is. Oh, you know what? I think we might make this the official logo of the Public Library SIG. I'm going to save this for posterity because this is a perfect analogy. That is awesome. Nice, James. Thank you. Oh, that is beautiful. Yeah, and reminiscent at the same time. Okay, so on number 8, item check-in, check-out, while in the checkout, currently two extra clicks to get to the item record to do an edit before going back to the checkout or check-in screen, because say I wanted to change the call number here, save and close. When I go back to checkout, it has saved the session. So literally two clicks. This is a partial implementation of this feature. What are your thoughts, Eddie? Well, you, Rob. Nope.
Well, my department needs to be able to alter something sometimes on the item record if it's checked out. Doesn't happen too much, but
Okay.
it's because of the scale issue, I don't know that it's a must need.
Okay. I don't believe currently has this functionality. So I think if I were to think of a staff workflow, usually the staff in our environment who are checking out aren't doing item records. We might even have permissions set up in place that circulating staff don't have the ability to edit items. And so this might be better defined as a could have or a want. As opposed to this is a must have, just because you're two clicks away from being able to do exactly the same workflow as defined. We'll make a note on here. Current work flow requires two clicks to edit item record. And when that's the other thing, when I think about trying to write up JIRAs for this to define how it's going to improve workflow, think about what's the priority of some of these, being able to backdate check-in or something like that is going to be probably more significant to your institution than the maybe occasional, I don't know the frequency of needing to do an item record edit. So number nine, in-house use. Staff can check out in-house use for statistical collections. I think I might need some more details on this one. There is in-house use in
I'm
Folio.
thinking, yeah, we have the internal count use. I think that's for when titles or material gets pulled from the shelves, left out, and then they check out how many times it's like been touched.
Gotcha.
I'm not sure
Perfect.
that we here do that anymore. So I'm not sure if it's a must-have.
Beautiful.
Yeah, we hardly used it in Horizon. They had a similar feature. I don't know if we truly ever did.
Okay. Thankfully, some guy named Joey went through. I guess now that I think about this, we could skip these things that I have already identified as being fully featured. And save ourselves some time and talking. My apologies for not doing a better job at looking at my own notes. So it would not be the first time that would have has happened, and it probably won't be the last. So linked patrons, this is interesting to me. Oh, let me see. Row nine, special collections, a number of lives you only several public schools need in-house circ. Absolutely. And we have our own we have a special collections for the Inland Northwest special collections. We have a museum that's a part of our library. And so those special collections where our archivist handles in-house checkout for materials as well. And so it is helpful for tracking that exact purpose. It's weird. Well, sounds like Carl's in good company. If it's active, it acts weird. Thankfully, with Folio, we have found it relatively accurate and straightforward in terms of in-house checkout and reporting. Yeah, we haven't experienced over-reporting yet. But if we were looking for some way to get an endowment grant, that might be useful to have it over-reported. Anyway, moving on. So, item user circ record is deleted at check-in. However, staff can determine the last user until the item is checked out until periodic process clears that link. This is implemented. We have a general rule where we don't delete items in Folio, just from our own organization standpoint. For good reason, check-in and often check it in twice. Ah. Gotcha. Yes, I gotcha. And that, so it's funny that you say that. And just going to James here in chat, talking about staff don't trust the check-in process, so they'll check it in twice and then you get an in-house count for that. Is that we have automated material handlers from MK that automatically sort things to bin and have an exceptions bin and so on and so forth for hold transfers. And staff will sometimes cycle those bins a second time to just make sure that everything was checked in, even though I trust the automated material handler more than I do a human, which, you know, I'm in IT, right? It's my job to trust and distrust everything. So at any rate, they end up doing double check-in on the staff station. So in some of our circulation reports, because we understand that behavior, we will exclude double check-ins unless the status is in transit, knowing that that backroom staff check-in station is only used for double checking the bin from the sorter. And so that's a way that we have found a way to manipulate the report to accommodate a staff behavior. So, but looking through, I just wanted to make a note about row number 10 that while you can delete item records and you can delete holding instance, you can delete anything. Generally speaking, we don't delete things and we'll give it a specific status of withdrawn or unavailable. And hey, David, glad that you could join us. Because of those record links between them, although there is functionality in feature or a functionality in Folio that will look for tied records before a cascade delete. So it'll do a cascade and say, well, this is where this item record or is tied to a request or tied to a loan or tied to something. And so it will tell you the cascade effects of that delete, but it in and of itself, the system won't break if those relationships or links get removed. So this is fully featured. So if it's a must-have, you're in luck because it's there. I didn't want to talk about number 11, which Folio does support. We go back here and look at our user detail. It does have a proxy sponsor relationship between borrowers who had it last visible to staff that keeps the three previous patients associated. Row 10. Let's see. Who had it the last three times? Gotcha. So Folio doesn't surface that directly in the UI. In our situation, we use, and I highly recommend this for any Folio library, we use a journalized analytical database that's a companion product to Folio. It's also open source, called MetaDB. And so, anytime there's a transaction of any kind in any database within Folio, it just creates a journalized log entry for that. And so, we create a number of reports using that Postgres database MetaDB, where we can do item history reports and stuff. So, even if an item does get deleted, we have the complete history of that item's circulation life cycle. So. But in and of itself, it does not surface that in Folio. Excuse me. So number 11, this is going to need a little bit more investigation. It's going to be a must-have. I absolutely know that. And I believe that it is fully featured because every academic institution, at least in the United States, has a sponsor relationship for circulating special materials to their students, and how that operates with recalls has different rules that you can apply in Folio. So if a professor wants to recall a book on behalf of a patron or a student, then it gives higher priority to that recall, where it doesn't allow the patron to keep it any longer. It can modify loan checkout periods for that. So I'm fairly confident that this is fully featured, but I would have to look into it because Spokane does not leverage this feature in our
I would
environment.
almost throw out there that, again, these were really old. We're in the middle of Aspen implementation, and there is Sierra doesn't actually have full functional, business logic record linking. It's just a key that's stored in the records as a variable field. So everybody in the family has that key. So if you go to linked records, it shows the person you're actually looking at. Aspen actually has actual record linking so that a parent can link to their child's account and, pay their fines for them and whatnot, or pay for, make a hold on their behalf or whatever. So I'm not sure I would actually, because it can be done in a third-party product where it actually makes a little more sense, because it's about the patron account, not about the business logic of the library, right? I almost wonder if this should be a must.
And more importantly, you had mentioned Aspen has this the method of using a common key amongst borrowers. That's absolutely possible with like a custom field in the Folio user record. What can Discovery do with it? Discovery being either Aspen or ViewFind or EDS. How can it leverage that is a question that I also don't know. And that might be why we Spokane chose not to implement proxy borrowing, was because at the time with ViewFind, we hadn't explored the possibility of linked accounts.
Well, it and again, there's additional security functionality in there, so certain patron types can be limited to other patron types that they can actually link to, and people can actually choose to unlink unless they're a child, then they can't, you know. So there's layers of granularity, and so I mean, if you just had that key, it and just automatically linked on that, then it would actually remove it would circumvent the built-in functionality. I don't know. I mean, again, I'm just not sure I would actually call that a must anymore from our perspective.
Because it's handled so well in Aspen Discovery.
Significantly better than it ever was in Sierra.
Gotcha. So yeah, I would be interested in, well, you guys isn't Nashville. You guys are, oh, here we go. I was just about to say James might be able to answer this. Aspen announced to link patrons that they're being linked allowed some users to block particular linkers. So in Nashville, you guys are large contributors, I think, to the Aspen project. So I'd be curious to see how much of that functionality can be tied into to Folio. I do know that there are a number of Folio institutions that use Aspen. And so I would be interested to see now from a Folio UI perspective, I'm going to have to try it, that we could go in here to the proxy sponsors. And I could add, let me just find someone, probably not a system account. And we go active. We can set an expiration date. This is all going to be wiped tomorrow anyway. Test it, Bob. So now if we go to our checkout screen, or was it the other way around? There's one of these, and maybe this is, it's a demonstration, right? Where you're doing a demonstration and all the demons come out to play. We're gonna in session. There we go. Where it will then present you, are you checking this out for yourself, or are you checking acting as a proxy for the admin user? And so this is how the functionality works in the UI. And then you can say, yep, I'm acting on behalf of this person as a proxy. And now you're ready to circulate items on behalf of them. So, again, I don't know the level of integration with Aspen Discovery or with ViewFind for that matter, because we don't use this. So I'm going to make a note on here that this can be done, but how does it work in Discovery? So, any other thoughts? No.
The proxy thing is probably important. We wouldn't use it, but I can imagine a lot of libraries, actually public libraries, requiring it. We don't actually, the kid has to, they have to be there with the with the card to actually check it out, even though they can log in as their kid from home and place a hold and have it delivered.
Right.
It's just policy wonkiness.
Yep, same here. And I know that this the proxy as just demonstrated does work fully fleshed out, because I think this is maybe like one of the very first very very first features that an academic library wanted integrated into the circulation module. Yeah, David, no, what about your, yeah, that's actually a great question. How does your outreach circulation with your delivery to home work, David, in that situation?
If you have, that's what I'm saying. If you place a hold online, it's going to be delivered to your home unless your account has a note in it that says that we can't deliver there. It's actually
Gotcha.
a fixed field that actually determines that they can't.
Okay.
But yeah, so I mean, if it's that's why I was saying it's kind of wonky that
you can't check out something for somebody else, even your own kid, with their card. Yet, if we can deliver to, your home, if you have the account information.
You just follow the policy bullet points and you're golden.
Oh, yeah, as far as the checkout process, James, I that's an involved thing I'll have to tell you about sometime. It's a there's a functionality in Sierra called Held Items Delivery. To my knowledge, I think we're the last library using it. So I'm just waiting for the ball to drop for them to just like kill this thing, but in an update, and then we're going to be scrambling to build some kind of application to do it.
Yeah, you're going to be scrambling to migrate to Folio, I
Well,
think is what you meant to
as
say.
I had noted before, that's one of the first things I did on the test systems was figuring it took me like, less than 2 hours to figure out how to configure it to actually handle home delivery actually better than what we currently have. Except
Awesome.
I have to figure out how we're going to manage the difference between requests and holds. Because in Folio, they're different animals, and we've got to, yeah, that's a whole nother thing.
Gotcha. Okay. So going down the line then on number 12, I have this as partial, but I want to reread this. Material search results. Staff can retrieve a current borrower, previous borrower, circulation statistics, and order information from item search results. The reason why this is partial is because this might show some of this information. Not directly in the search. So I'm actually going to get our pull up my test environment and make sure I don't have any Yellowstone. I want to make sure I don't have any personal information for anybody showing. So here's a general search for Yellowstone in the inventory application. At a glance for a particular item, we can see the age to loss. So here is the previous borrower. Here is the last item updated, its loan date, due date, etc., as well as its acquisition details. So all of that is at a glance. Not, well, let me rephrase. It's not at a glance because you have to go into the particular item that was acquired or checked out or age loss, et cetera, et cetera. And so that does show that, although it doesn't show an analytical history of that or a journalized history of that. So we can retrieve the current borrower, previous borrower, that does not exist. Circulation statistics, not necessarily, and order information. So these two particular items would be done through external reporting tools. For us, that would be MetaDB, which I'm telling you, if you're ever whoops, if you're ever exploring Folio, that is the one that analytical database is a must have. And so this is partially. I don't know that the Folio UI itself will ever be refactored to include historical. So when I'm saying like this is if this is a must have, it's got to be displayed in the UI to show the previous six borrowers or whatever. I highly doubt that that would be built into the system in the future.
Yeah, we'd have to figure out a way for a staff member trying to track down material,
Right.
there'd have to be an easy way for them to actually pull this from MetaDB. So you're talking about building an application, another application to provide item statistical history and stuff,
Yes.
that's not for like managers or administrators, but that's for like frontline staff. That's, but
Correct. So for the way that we have done it, is we built a dashboard for everything. So this is to some extent the workarounds that we have built that have now been represented in the gap analysis document, including better ways to do pick lists and expired holds lists based on location, et cetera. It helps if I hit apply. That I have now represented as yes, this should absolutely be a better tool in the Folio UI itself, not something that literally every institution has built their own variation of what we're looking at right here. So in our situation, this takes a little while because of the way that we engineered it, but this is how we would pull up an item history and see all of their check-in and check-out. And even though that took a long time to load, when we announced this to staff, this was kind of a Frankenstein recreation version of something we had in Horizon. And when we had that report in Horizon, I sent a screenshot of the report header where it said, "Please wait 5 to 10 minutes for the report to complete." And so even though that took, 10, 15 seconds to load a full item history, our previous experience was, hey, you might want to go get a cup of coffee and then come back to see where this item has been. And so even that considerably faster than our previous systems. But in this right here, at a quick glance, shows item history circulation for this. So that is that partial support. External reporting tools would be required for previous borrower or circulation statistics. There is also, well, I guess I'm only partially representing that as well, because there is a circulation log where you can pull up an item barcode and find the history of circulation for this particular item as well. So if we went to this and threw in our item barcode, and you would see a long list of loan requested, so on and so forth. So there is an application. I forgot about the circulation log. I know that sounds horrible, but our staff prefer to use our item history report because it has more details about what staff did it, where the source was, and but at a glance, it shows everything that you have here.
How long does that last?
Indefinitely. It doesn't
Okay.
currently have a prune.
Okay. So may, we'll probably want to start anonymizing it at some point,
Yes.
Same with MetaDB.
Yep. Exactly. And that is supported. Loan request anonymization is available. Spokane Public, we don't do it. We don't anonymize our loans, but I see row 12 and row 10. James threw something in here. 10 and 12. I've seen schools check a title on the fly with 25 kids line up to check in and check out to see if they can get a kid at the front of the line. They'll return later in the line. Oh. Interesting. That is an interesting scenario. You have 25 kids lined up, some of them with books to return, some of them wanting the books to check out, and could quickly check and see, does one of these kids have this popular title that kid at the front of the row wants? Interesting. That is not a scenario that I would have ever conceived. So, thank you, James, for that in there. I'm actually going, do you mind, since this is all public record anyway, I'm just going to grab this example and toss it in here. Oh, good golly, Miss Molly. I'm gonna throw that over there. Just because again, that's not a scenario I would have ever conceived of. So it's nice to have that in there as, hey, this is a point of example. So this one is fully implemented. What do we have here? Staff can select links in bibliographic records to display browse results and subject headings. That is fully supported. Material search, staff can limit or refine results by a variety of facets, availability, location, material type collection. All of this is fully supported. And right here, you have all kinds of facets, and all of this changes based on, some of it changes based on context. Or you can do browse by call numbers, contributor subjects as well. So this number 14 is fully implemented. as well as for various standard fields, barcode. All of this is fully supported. What's nice about those is then we don't have to create Jira's for them. Moving down the line, multiple addresses, absolutely, with primary designation that is fully supported. I did skip one. Can sort results by relevancy, author, title, and publication date. This is also possible to do here. We have sorting by contributors, publishers, and relation. I don't know about relevancy or publication date. I don't have those in here. And so that is, I would say, partially publication. Oops. So this is a good example. What would be the must-have in terms of being able to sort? Ah, yeah. And that's this was the same for our days in Horizon, as well as to some extent in our viewfind, in our discovery, is that the discovery layer does prove to be more efficient for finding those quick pieces of information, just like you're describing. And Aspen and Viewfind are very much the same, so you know already about the advanced search options and everything that's in there. I know I did a presentation at WolfCon with a number of institutions, one of them being Stanford, and Stanford has a very heavily modified Viewfind that they tell their staff not to use Folio to find title holding item information because they have exposed so much of that information and made it searchable on their modified viewfind that it is incredibly powerful. They don't even bother using the inventory app. And that is how we used to do it in Horizon because it was just as quick to look it up in Discovery. So in terms of being able to filter by public or sort by publication date, is this a must-have? What are your guys' thoughts?
I would have collected this information from people in public services, and I can't imagine that would have changed that much. There's so many of these things that would, but I really feel like they would still think that those results would need to be sortable.
Okay. Yeah,
But
that's the only.
filter, but filtering also, could make up for it. So
Sure. Yeah, the only thing that's
I have
missing
to
is
look at, yeah. It'd have
sort
to be
by
assessed.
publication.
Yeah.
Were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to agree with that because, like, if patrons come in, oh, I want this, the latest, James Patterson and sort
Sure.
by that publication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a great example. Yeah. Because if we even Yellowstone, right here, I think by default it searched by relevancy. But right here, yeah, you would want to see what is the latest release for where Yellowstone is in the title. That makes sense to have that there. Okay, must sort by publication. That I know is a relatively easy thing to add. Oh, look, even my own institution wants it. Thank you, Rob, for chiming in. That I know is relatively easy because Spokane, we developed our own Folio application for tracking security incidences. And when we were adding those sortable columns to that, it was a relatively low lift for our developer to add. So multiple addresses is a must. It's fully implemented. Notifications provide multiple methods of notifications, for example, SMS, email for holds, hold cancellation and expiration, pre-notification, overdue notices, etc. So I put partial because there is a notification system available in Folio, but it is not as robust as what a public library might want to use. So, for example, you can send an email that is very basic text information that you can build a template on, but there's no way to market it, right? There's no way to flash it up. It's not like using MailChimp, where you can put branding in there and pretty pictures of the titles and so on and so that so forth. And so for us, we use Patron Point, and I know some other a lot of public libraries do, and we export all that information into a CSV, put it to where Patron Point can consume it, and then they have templated emails, as well as we do SMS notifications, and we use Telecirc as well, from Ilion or Talking Tech. And so I say it's partially supported because out of the box, there is no clean way to say, this is the tool I want to use to export and send to a third party.
This is one of those that shouldn't be must-have any longer because the world has changed considerably since then, and much it's kind of gone the path of discovery, patron discovery service. I mean, it should be disintegrated from
Yeah.
the ILS.
Well, and we even take it a step further where the emails that we do send out, there's like basic information about their holds or their overdue items or whatever. But 90% of the language in there is click here to go look at your account on the catalog. Right. So just like you're saying, David, we rely so much on discovery to say, hey, here's some basic info. Go review this. In your portal, which how many other services in the world? I mean, I don't even get my gas bill says go log in, right? It doesn't even have any pertinent details in there. And so I, like you said, the world has changed in having the ILS that's managing this. And we did the same thing in Horizon, where we built a custom tool to send it through Mailgun and built it that way before we even used Patron Point. So
I just changed it because I don't think anybody expects that at this point. I just don't.
awesome.
And I would have been the one that would have actually determined that was a must-have
You're right.
that many years ago. Again, this is like late 2018, early 2019,
Right.
which
The
just is so
world has
upsetting to think about.
changed in 5 or 6 years. Going through offline staff, check out items to patron while the server network is unavailable. Transactions are logged to be loaded. So yeah, no. I say partial, because this is, I'm pretty sure that we wanted to say not done in the web client. So our MO is because this is all a web client based, is that we keep track of patron and barcode and in a spreadsheet essentially. And then once the system comes back online, we upload the we up, then apply the checkouts to the patron. In our 4 years on Folio, our only outages have been caused by network outages at our institution where Joey was doing something he shouldn't be doing on a core network switch, and everything went down. So in those situations, our rollover was staff would get on hotspots with the laptops and then have the web client and we're ready to go. And
We
so
have we our organization has started doing that where they just have emergency hotspots at the branches now, but sometimes they don't have them and they have to be driven out there.
gotcha.
Sierra's offline client just basically
To a text file.
it writes to a text file and then you upload it. So I mean, if some means could be created to record transaction information in a way that could be ingested, that'd be pretty cool. But I just can't, I can't imagine that we would not. Because again, 6 years ago, hot spots at all the branches was not a
Right.
thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and
I
that's
would change that
interesting.
one.
To this is no longer a must-have. Oh,
I
wait.
would change it to a should have.
In this one.
Yeah.
Okay. So should. Yeah, because it would be nice if there was a offline desktop app that could then, once things come back on, you could say push, doop, boop, boop, and then any failed checkouts to the patron would come back and notify. Because obviously, you might have a patron who comes up that owes $500, and you go, hey, here you go, have a nice book. And then when you go to run the offline circuit, it needs to provide feedback that goes, you shouldn't have checked out that book to Joey. He owes money. And so there'd have to be some way to track that. Or then at that point, you could check out with override, put it on their account, and then the patron would still be responsible for it, despite the fact that they weren't initially allowed to circulate. Yeah, Cloudflare, AWS. Yeah, exactly. Even yesterday, or no, was it yesterday that that happened, or Monday, where Cloudflare was down again? And that was fun. Always, it's always fun. So staff need to create a record on the fly for uncatalogued materials. They can't do it from the checkout screen. So yeah, without having to leave the patron checkout screen to create a record. And then execute the checkout upon completion of the record. So that does not exist as described. However, you're in the checkout screen and new FastTech. Oh, yeah, look, it's fully supported. But I never used that, never knew that was there. So fully supported. If that was a must-have, the problem has been solved now. That's it. Right there. It just worked. Okay. I'm going to change this to fully supported. Do do. Just delete my erroneous notes in there before. On the fly cataloging, on the fly router to cataloging staff check in. The items created on the fly are notified to route material. Yep. This is create the. Oh, so when they create an item on the fly, they're notified to immediately route it to somewhere else. So this is the item would need to be checked in. So is that really a must-have that when you create an item here it's central is our branch, then we created that to exist at Shadle, that it would immediately say to send it to Shadle? Or would and put it in transit status, or would the extra step of check-in be a deal breaker? What are your thoughts on that, David? I don't know. It might be
Oh, I'm
useful
sorry,
for
I'm muted.
everything you were saying was very elegant, though. I appreciate
No,
that.
it's just there may be other means. There may be other ways to do this to staff check. No, I'm just trying to think of a way that could be. No, I had a thought, it went away.
Yeah, so that is a caveat, is you do a quick add and then the next step is or anything, right? Any cataloging, you create an item on the fly. The next step is you have to go and trigger that item for in transit by putting it through the check-in app. So That would be the step after you've done a quick create. You have to trigger it here to route it to Shadle or insert, branch B. So, yeah, for me, I don't know how often your institution creates items on the fly. I think Rob would attest that the cataloging department would be like smacking somebody around if they were
Morally.
yeah
Yeah.
well, I was gonna say usually it happens when it's checked out, so it doesn't read the barcode because it's not in the system, or they scan it wrong, creates on the fly, and then the patron is able to walk away with it. There's been times where staff had called me as a cataloger and asked me to put it back in the system because they had a patron waiting for it, which is good. The on the fly though, like with us, it defaults to a certain price, a certain not, like whether
Loan
it's
type.
suppressed, yeah, it's different kind of type. So some staff are intuitive enough to actually put it on the correct record, but then some of that information is not correct and they may take the on the fly message out, so you don't really know, and so it might be a $5 paperback and they're getting charged $30.
Right.
I would, when I was dealing with that, I would try to put like capture a list of on the fly items and say please route to OTF or whatever, so it brings it back to collection development, so that way they can assess should this go back in the collection, is it too old, is it that kind of stuff.
Gotcha. Oh, and I see, yeah, James put a comment on there. Carl places a hold on the item to be delivered to a shared staff account with the pickup location in the main basement. Yeah, that is so. Anytime we're doing processing like that for an item, it would be the similar thing. You create a fast add record, and then you check it out to the patron, but then you would place an item level hold on it for the shared account. Or for us, we call it the processing account, where it's going to be routed back to support services for evaluation.
Yeah, I think part of it too is like circulation has turnover and things that may have changed since I was there 20 years ago as a shelver, but it's like the system automatically gives it a message that'll pop up at check-in that says on the fly, but staff is like, they may not know what to do with it. They put it on the back or it just has the call number, so they just put it on the to be shelved and it goes from there.
I think I have an answer to this. It would still require a check-in action, but one thing is, when, so let's go back here. When I did the fast add record, there is an option here to create a check-in note. You go route to Joey. And so then wait, let me see whatever required fields are. And this was two. Material type is a book, and I know this is super exciting. Our loan type is can circulate, and our I'm gonna guess that that has already been used by someone. And I'm gonna save and close. And now, if I go to our check-in process. So the next time that this item, you can check it out to the customer, right? Because you just made it on the fly. So, oops, so that you can get it out to them and go, hey, here you go. Have a nice day. We'll see you later. See you next week or one in 1 hour when it's due. And then when it comes back and gets checked in, now it's ready to route to Joey and support services. It's just a note on there to check it back in. Oh, this was a fast add. You can even put that in there. Fast add route to Joey. And then when support services or the team consumes or gets that item back, they go in and correct the item, make sure it's assigned to the correct instance, so on and so forth. They remove the check-in note and they're off to the races. So.
Yeah, that's a nice process. There's always possibility of human error, though, and missing that.
Yes. Yeah. Agreed. So this, while it might be a must have. That would be workaround. and creating the fast add record, add check-in note to route to location. Okay. I'm going to mark that with partial. I noticed David had to jump out and James is on his way. I appreciate you guys joining us today. I will send, I'll put it in the Slack. There is a place where you can grab the ICS for the calendar reminder. And so I'll go ahead and post that in the Slack for you guys. And thank you for your help getting through this. We got through a portion of it, and there's always going to be more to do. Thank you very much for your time, and I hope to see you on the internet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye, Joey.
Bye, Rob. We'll talk to you in a bit.
Okay.